Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The United States owns the pool in London. A 15-year-old wins gold in the women's 800-meter freestyle, the youngest American Olympian at the Games. We'll give you more details on that. Michael Phelps, a winner as well. And Missy Franklin, what is being compared to as the female version of Michael Phelps, at least with success at the Olympics. She was a winner as well. She won the 200-meter backstroke in world record fashion earlier today. So another big night for NBC and the primetime coverage with their swimming. Track and field gets underway today at the Olympic Games. Had some qualifying for the 400 earlier today. And there was also shot put going on today, which I think is one of the most underrated track and field events. Maybe it's because I'm the size of a shot putter, or at least I wish I was the size of a shot putter, but I think that's one of the most underrated of the track and field events. You don't get a chance to see that on television very often unless it's Olympic time. So I have my DVR rolling fiercely to try and get up to date on what's going on with the shot put finals coming up later on today and the qualifying today as well. We'll, of course, keep you up to date on Penn State football, some players leaving, some other players have decided not to go to Penn State after a verbal commitment. So we'll catch up on that. Steve will be updating us on that here in just a few minutes. Afternoon baseball today. Miami takes on Washington. Game is set for about an hour from now. They'll play a doubleheader, as a matter of fact. And the Pittsburgh Pirates are taking on Cincinnati in a big showdown there in the NL Central. 3.5 games behind the Reds are the Pirates to this point. And that series will continue on this weekend. So again, lots of stuff to talk about with the Olympics and a lot of stuff to talk about with Penn State, Major League Baseball. And if you want to talk about something in particular, maybe you want to talk about some of the NFL training camps, which strangely enough have been brushed under the rug simply because of the Olympics going on right now. And maybe that's a good thing and a bad thing, because sometimes as a fan, you get really excited about all these injuries that get reported here early on in summer camp, and then it becomes really nothing to worry about by the time the second preseason game gets underway, which really is one of two games in the preseason that actually mean anything, game two and game three, where you actually see any of the guys that'll be most likely playing in the fall. But so the NFL training camp underway. We'll talk more about that and your questions on the Lenape Solar Hotline, toll free 1-800-795-9565. That number again, 1-800-795-9565. The 17-year-old Missy Franklin, gold medal again, this one in world record fashion, and she did that moments ago. Actually, it was about 30 minutes ago in the pool in London, which has been owned by the United States. She won the 200 backstroke in world record fashion. And Phelps, again, was the big winner in the pool with the 100 butterfly. And that is medal number 21. And if I count correctly, I think is that 17 gold? Or I'll have to do the research on that, because I'm not quite 100% sure how many gold medals there was there in that particular run for Michael Phelps. So that's what's going on in the pool as of the moment. Women's 100 heats underway throughout the day today as track and field gets underway for the first time. And as we said earlier, they had some shot put going on today as well. An upset in men's volleyball. Todd Rogers and Phil Dahlhauser of the United States, the big U.S. team, they lost in their match. They are done. Roger Federer having his way with the pretty much the entire field on the men's side at this point. Big fan of playing in Wimbledon now, and of course that's where the That's where all the tennis is going on as we speak throughout the Olympics right now, is at Wimbledon, and Roger Federer continues to go on. We'll get you updated on the tennis situation, too. And saw earlier today, I always get them confused whether it's Venus or Serena. I think it's Serena that I saw today. I think it was Venus that was out. But anyway, I definitely saw one of the Williams sisters in singles action and caught a little bit of that. They're both still going on in doubles. And can you imagine if you're in tennis and you're coming up in the Olympics and, you know, you're one of those that, you know, you're hopeful, you know, you've worked all your life. You're not a huge team of tennis, but you're not a big doubles tennis team. But, you know, you're thinking this is the Olympics. Anything could happen. Oh, by the way, you're going to be matching up in the first, second, or third round with the Williams sisters. Good luck. That's like going head-to-head with Michael Phelps, and this is your first time at the Olympics. Hey, good luck. Hopefully it all works out well for you. So that's, again, a rundown of some of the Olympic events. Last night, got a chance to watch the Flying Squirrel win in gymnastics, and if you were following Steve Jones' show and the Twitter feed at Steve Jones PSU, you probably saw my tweet last night wondering why that Allie Raisman could not get a second bronze medal when she tied for third place. Why not just award a second bronze medal? Why go to a tiebreaker? And that's what happened a couple of years ago. They decided on this tiebreaker set, and you know, it was just kind of sad, you know, that they had to go down to some sort of a criteria, to use a wrestling term, to try and find out who finished third.
No doubt about that, but at the same time, she has a gold medal from the team thing. She does not go away empty-handed and has to pay taxes on it.
That's true.
Okay, so, you know.
I mean, that's the bright side of it. You know, it's not like you didn't get a medal.
Look, the tiebreaker is ridiculous, okay? But everything in that sport is ridiculous.
It's a very judgmental sport. There's no question about that.
It has been a sport that over the years has brought with it more questions than answers. It is not a well-governed sport. It's not a well-judged sport. It is a sport with prejudicial judging, and we all love to watch it. I enjoy watching it. But how many years have we seen, well, you know, the five Eastern Bloc judges or the five Western Bloc judges, you know,
I was talking to somebody yesterday that actually was a gymnast years ago, and then her daughter is a gymnast as well. And we were talking about the new scoring, and I said, you've seen it both ways, with the old scoring system and the new scoring system. Did the new scoring system, where you get a maximum score and work your way down, did that eliminate the problems of the scoring system of 1 through 10? And she said, you know what? I don't think so. It's still the same judgmental scoring system.
Sure it is.
Why this makes it any better or worse, she said, I don't know.
All right. Now, Michael Phelps did it again, closing with a flourish, his 100-meter fly gold medal for the third consecutive Olympiad. He three-peats in the 100-meter fly. That's his specialty. That's his last individual event. His last two individual events as an Olympian end up being gold medals. And he will end his career tomorrow in the 4x100 medley relay.
And am I right? Did I hear right last night that there are only two repeat winners from Beijing? Two repeat gold medal winners?
Yes.
Wow.
He's one of them. And he put together a 51.21 in the 100-meter fly. And this time the silver medal was shared because there were two that hit the wall at the same time behind him.
Now, all right, that brings up another question. Why not give away a gold, two silvers, and because there's two silvers, they're not going to give away a bronze.
Right, because there's first, second, and third.
Right.
Those are the top three.
No, but if you have a tie for second, why can't you have the third place person, because you have a tie, why can't the third place person get a medal? Why can't they get the bronze?
You know, certain things in my life I've never worried about.
Well, and I know that sounds very much like everybody gets a medal for participating. I don't mean to take it that far. I just
look,
think,
you know, the bottom line is you don't get a bronze because you finished fourth. Okay? That's why you don't have a bronze. You finished fourth. You didn't finish third.
Well,
you finished fourth.
I don't know. I guess I don't quite see it that
there
way.
There is no third place finisher. You finished fourth. Okay? The person that the person that's out of it is, you don't get a medal for finishing fourth. That's why there's not a bronze.
Okay, well then they've got an extra bronze medal, so now they can give it to Allie. There, I've resolved it.
Right.
I'm calling the IOC now.
Good. You do that. I'll do the show. All right. Number 1-800-795-9565. That's the Lenape Solar Hotline at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. It's the weekend, and after the last couple of weeks I've been through, I think I will be making a stop at Brewers Outlet, and I will be stocking up for months just to get me through next week.
They've got a lot of things there that you can stock up on. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I did the research. We were talking earlier, Michael Phelps wins the butterfly. It is his 17th Olympic gold medal, so I did have it correct.
Yes.
Doesn't happen often, so I wanted to make sure I noted it.
Right. Mike Hall has decided to stay with Penn State. The linebacker, very important that he stays, but he is staying at Penn State. Akeel Lynch, some people thought he would make up his mind by Sunday. Sunday is when he was going to make up his mind. Evidently, he has made up his mind. He probably will tell everybody tonight what he's doing. And Justin Brown has not made up his mind. So that gets everybody up to date there. So Justin Brown, everyone thought he would make up his mind last night. No, he has not made up his mind on what to do. Akeel Lynch evidently has and will release it tonight. Everyone thought he would say it on Sunday. No. And Mike Hall has made up his mind. He is staying at Penn State. So far it is 8 gone. 2 waiting. And that is the deal. Also, something I want to get into very quickly. On Sunday morning, outside the lines, Vicki Tripani, former head of student affairs at Penn State, will be on Outside the Lines. There will be two questions that you should look for that will not be asked. And when we get back together on Monday, I will ask you if you heard these two questions. Okay?
Okay.
Number one, there were two meetings in 2007 that were attended by Coach Paterno and one other individual that I won't name, but is still with Penn State and has a prominent position at Penn State.
Okay.
And the third person in the meeting was supposed to be Vicki Tripani. She sent a surrogate to the first meeting. There was a second meeting. Okay? And I can tell you Joe was going to be far more conciliatory in the second meeting. He was going that direction. All right? Wanted to work together. He showed. Person from Old Main showed. She sent a surrogate again. Will she be asked if she was at either meeting? Of course not. But I wanted our audience to know that there's more to the truth than you realize. Number two, here's today's trivia question. Who hired Vicki Tripani at the University of Connecticut in 1998 in the Office of Student Affairs? Who was her boss? Anybody?
I'm not going to venture a guess, but I'll tell you what, I can tell by the tone of your voice, I'm going to find it very intriguing.
Everybody will. Mark Emmert, president currently of the NCAA.
I was going to say, I'm very intrigued.
Now, I'm not drawing any lines here or conclusions, but I think people should know the truth in full disclosure before they watch this extravaganza on Sunday morning. Will those two questions be asked? I venture no. You'd have to do research. Okay? But I wanted to put it out there for everybody today so that at least you as an audience going in have some working knowledge, probably more so than Bob Lee. Fair enough?
Sorry, I'm just chuckling to myself about doing research and then probably not.
No. So, I wanted to make sure everyone knew that going in before they watched the piling on take place on Sunday. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Do you find the two tidbits of information to be intriguing?
I believe enlightening would be the word I'd use.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Enlightening. Yeah. Well, I just want to make sure everybody knew going in what not to expect. And I would like our audience to have a working background of the truth and facts before the interview takes place. I think it's only fair to our audience that they have the upper hand on everybody else. All right? Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. So Mike Holstang, Akil Lynch has made up his mind but has not publicly said what he's doing yet. So that's 48 hours ahead of what he said he was going to do. And Justin Brown, been contemplating between Oklahoma and Penn State. He met with Bill O'Brien yesterday, was supposed to have made up his mind yesterday, but held off. Look, if he goes to Oklahoma, okay, will he play? Probably. Will he be prominent in what they do? No. They want him for depth, to be frank with you. Here, I bet here he would average probably 11 to 14 yards a catch and probably catch maybe 4 to 6 touchdown passes. He's a senior. He's on a path to graduate. I mean, to me, on the outside looking in without knowing all the ins and outs, on the outside looking in, to me it looks, I think it's obvious what you do. You stay. I mean, why uproot yourself now? You understand the offense. You know the offense. You're part of it. And so, you know, you have to go and learn a new system, which you could do. I mean, as a wideout, you can do it, okay? I mean, you can. You know, learning routes and things like that. But, look, Oklahoma wants depth. Hey, they're not looking at him to come in and be the man and hook up with Landry Jones and catch 75 balls and score a dozen touchdowns. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. They have people established there already. Right? They have people established there already. But he has to make up his mind as to what he thinks greener pastures happen to be. But I gave everyone, and Jack Hamm and I had a long talk this morning, a very thorough rundown on what people can and can't do. Now, we have Guy Cipriano from the Center Daily Times coming up in just a few moments, okay? But I want people to know what they can, what guys can and can't do, because I've heard of assessments of what guys can and can't do that just don't match up. They don't match up. Not with what I've watched every day in practice. You know, I mean, somebody actually said to me, said, you know, can't believe Bill O'Brien didn't give Kevin Hapley more love in the spring, and they put Kyle Carter in front of him. Kyle Carter should have been in front of him. He's a better player right now. In fact, when I saw the depth chart, I thought, good. All right, that makes that, because that's what made sense to me.
Hapley's a good player. Carter, I think, is going to be better. And I thought that last year, let alone this year. In fact, I thought Kyle got off to a little bit of a slow start in the spring and then really came on the last 2.5 weeks. And I think, you know, Carter, I mean, has a tremendous upside to him. I really like him a lot. Same thing with Gary Gilliam. Same thing with Jesse James. I mean, between James and Carter, they have two tight ends that down the road. And then, of course, they're recruiting other people that play tight end. But these are the kind of guys where I think Bill O'Brien got lucky. He hasn't been lucky with a lot so far, but he got lucky in that spot there with some of the people he had to deal with. Hapley, will he do a good job at Florida State? Yeah, I think he'll be a good player down there. Would he have helped here? Sure, he would have helped. Would he have been a star here? No. You know, he has good hands. Okay. He's a good blocker. And he's a good football player. Is he a great receiver? No. Is he a great blocker? No. Is he a great player? No. But he's good. Good hands. Good blocker, good football player. Would he have helped? Yes. Can he be replaced? Yes. Red, great player, NFL level player. Okay, can he be replaced? Difficult. Because he is an outstanding player. What does he need to work on? He needs to have better hands so he can be in space. Worked very hard on that in the spring, and needs to be better in blitz pickup. Bill Belton, guy be the primary replacement. Okay. Reads blocks well. You know, Red has the incredibly quick feet, but Belton knows how to hit holes and make some plays and is going to be a good tailback. Has excellent hands. The guy played wide receiver last year. So you can get the ball to him in space, but when it comes to blitz pickup, he hasn't had to do that in his lifetime. So that is a work in progress. Dukes hits the hole, breaks tackles now, has really improved as a runner. Good hands, you can throw the ball to him. Same thing, for a guy his size, he should be a much better blocker. For a man his size, he should be a much better blocker than he is. That comes with maturity, but he needs to be. Derek Day is a guy that nobody talks about. Derek Day's a football player. Is he as quick as Belton or Dukes? Nope. Have the size of Dukes? Nope. Knows how to play the game? You bet. Wants to stick his nose in there and make a block on blitz pickup? Oh, absolutely. And Zach Swinak's a good, tough, hard-nosed guy. Kind of a tweener. You know, not quite big enough to be a fullback, not quite a tailback, but you put him in short yardage and he's a tough, hard-nosed, straight-ahead guy. So that's where we are. Guy Cipriano's coming up from the Saturday Daily Times. Guy had been working on the State College Spikes beat for a long time. And then he got shifted over to the Penn State football beat. And he had told his bosses, look, I'll work both, which he was. And then suddenly, when everything broke for the NCAA, Guy can only work on Penn State football. We'll come back, talk with him as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Regan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm ready to fill up an entire wagon and bring it here to the Sunbury Motor Studio.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our phone line, which will be open especially in the next hour at 1-800-795-9565, is powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to lenapesolar.com. And, of course, the Friday show, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We now bring in Guy Cipriano. For a long time, the beat writer for the Saturday Daily Times for Penn State Wrestling and the State College Spikes baseball team, but is now the beat writer for Penn State football. Guy, welcome. Great to have you on board.
Good to hear from you, Steve, and I miss you at the ballpark.
Yeah, same here, buddy. I know that you have to go full-time on this, so justifiably so. When you took the Penn State football beat, I don't think you ever expected you'd be covering the things that you're covering right now. Give us an idea from your perspective what the, quote, daily grind has been like over the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, you just kind of wake up expecting the unexpected, I guess. And nothing surprises me at this point because I don't go into the day with any script or expectation, Steve. Yeah, there's things you want to get done, but you know that that plan's going to get destroyed and ripped apart, and you're going to have to adapt. I guess it's kind of like being one of the coaches right now. You know, I don't think this is what they had planned for or expected, and you just adapt and go on the fly. And, yeah, the last 3 weeks have been pretty interesting. I was there when the statue went down. I was in Indianapolis. I was in Chicago. I had to cancel flights. I was in the Midwest for a week. A lot of driving, a lot of miles on the car, which is in the shop right now, and hopefully it's done today. That car took a beating doing over 1,200 miles last week. But, yeah, it's been interesting, and like I said, you just wake up every day not knowing what to expect, and you have to go into it with the right mindset, I guess, just like the coaches are right now.
Exactly. You do have to approach it in a certain way because there has never been, when SMU was hit with the death penalty, those players had either they went nowhere and didn't play or else they went somewhere and played because there was no football to be played at SMU. There's football to be played here. Thus, this is the first time in history that something like this has happened. What has it been like from your perspective to cover in late July, early August, the possibility of players leaving?
Yeah, it's a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails. You look at Twitter every hour, if not a few times an hour, a lot of checking of the roster online. I refresh that page, I think, every hour. I went to the gym today for an hour, and I didn't bring my iPad, and I was freaking out. Although it was therapeutic to get on a bike and a treadmill and sweat a little without any technology in front of you. You know, you try to do it all hours of the day. You know, especially somebody like me who's new and, you know, I haven't covered a lot of these players in the past. You know, I don't have a lot of connections with some of the older guys on the team simply because I wasn't on the beat. You know, I had other responsibilities with high school football and Penn State wrestling and the state college spikes. So, you know, you're trying to develop relationships here in a very short amount of time, and it's part of the job. And you know what, some people may say it stinks and that, you know, that you don't really have much of a life. For me, I find it pretty exhilarating. I have a supportive wife, and you know, you're always uploading things on the website, and you know, you put something on the website when a guy leaves, and then you try to write a whole different print version, you know, to provide more context. But that's a lot of what we do now. You know, we also have a print product. Everyone thinks everything's online, and you kind of get the news out online and then maybe go a little deeper in the newspaper. And I think that's what newspapers are still good for, Steve, is that you know, a lot of people can put 4 or 5 paragraphs on the web, but, you know, how does this affect the team? Why did it happen? Where does the team go from there? A lot of that stuff is missing on the Internet, and that's something you can do nicely in the newspaper and in depth. So it's been fascinating, and it's been exhilarating. And to think, you know, training camp hasn't even – started yet, and there's all this activity. It's kind of like being involved in minor league baseball, Steve. You know that there's roster moves every day, and you know this week 8 players have left the team. Well, if you're covering a minor league baseball team, especially in the New York Penn League, it's not uncommon, especially early in the year, to have 8 roster moves, you know, in a week. So I think that's where the minor league baseball background helps. Yeah. In this thing, because you know it's like there's transactions every day right now.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's about how it is felt, and. So, when you look at what's happened, what are your thoughts on the penalties and what's been the toughest part, in your opinion, of the penalties for Penn State for this coaching staff and the university to deal with?
Well, immediately, the most difficult penalty to deal with now is this transfer waiver. I mean, it's completely altered the 2012 plan. It's eliminated some depth from the team. It's obviously eliminated some key parts in Silas Redd and Anthony Farrah, and you know, that's the one that hurts the most right now. But then you look at it a few years from now, and this is something I had a chance to talk to some Big Ten coaches about last week at Big Ten Media Days, was the going down to 65 scholarship players instead of 85. And, you know, 65 still sounds like a lot to an outsider. I mean, you start 11 guys on offense, 11 on defense. You know, what do you need 85 guys for? Well,
you do.
You know, I was kind of on that mindset, and then I had a conversation with Urban Meyer last Friday, and he said, hey, look, we're down to 82 players right now. from our 85 because of their sanctions. And he said he's feeling it with just 82 because you have a board, and those are three slots, Urban Meyer says, on your board that are written NCAA, NCAA, NCAA. Well, you know, who knows? Those could be three All-Americans that occupied that spot, is what Urban Meyer said, or, you know, future NFL players. So, you know, if a program like Ohio State's feeling three, you know, it makes you wonder what Penn State's going to be feeling in 2014 when they're 20 down. You know, that's 20 spots to the NCAA, and, you know, that could be, you know, 7, 8, 9 really good football players that maybe would have occupied those spots.
No, in fact, I remember when the Big Ten allowed you to go from traveling 68 to traveling 70.
And yeah,
that was a big deal. That was a big deal. You could do that by adding two guys.
Yeah, you know, you think in the 70s it was unlimited scholarships. When Bear Bryant was building his dynasties at Alabama, you know, he could literally just keep players to prevent them from going to, you know, Auburn or Florida or some of their SEC rivals. So right now is an immediate challenge, and that's the sanction that's caused a lot of headaches. I can't imagine what Bill O'Brien and the assistant coaches have gone through to keep this roster together, but you really think of them being 20 guys down in 2014. And, you know, like I said, Urban Meyer isn't a guy that'll sugarcoat things. So if he's saying that they're feeling three, it makes you just imagine what 20 is going to be like.
Right. There's no question about that. Going forward, is it even possible to think about going forward at the moment until the roster is somewhat set?
Yeah, you know what? You never know when, you know, is the roster even going to be completely set? I mean, yeah, training camp begins Monday, but that doesn't mean that Penn State's in the clear. I mean, they certainly could still lose players in August with the way the rules are set up. I mean, the only way they can't lose players is once they participate in a game. Now, the recruiting rules soften when Penn State begins class on August 27th. You know, coaches can't make phone calls, and players can't make visits, or coaches from other teams can't make visits. But, you know, just because training camp starts on Monday, and that's going to be refreshing, that's going to be quite a scene, that's going to be a relief for the program just to get on a football field. I know all these players and coaches were anxious to get on the field because they felt that they had developed a lot of momentum in the spring, and that was only 15 practices with a new way of doing things, and they were excited to begin with. And now I think it's just going to be a huge relief for everyone to get on that field Monday. But once they get off the practice field and, you know, they go in the trainer's room and the weight room and in meetings, and once kids go home, I mean, it's not like the coaches aren't going to be worrying. You know, there's still the threat of a guys leaving even once Penn State gets on the field.
Yeah, although I think that dissipates once you're actually out there practicing. I think once that happens, I think once you're in a camp, because, you know, you have to remember, these guys have all come in, and it took them a lot to learn the new terminology of this. You go someplace else. I mean, the crash course is more, I think, than people realize it would be.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, every practice a guy misses, either at Penn State or somewhere else, or a day behind. So, I mean, that's a great point. A lot of teams, a lot of Division I programs started practicing this week, including some Big Ten teams. I think Iowa and Nebraska have already gotten on the field, so there's already some Big Ten teams going at it. Penn State's kind of going at it maybe a little later with the start of their practices than some of the teams across the country.
What are you looking forward to the most over the next 4 weeks? Because the season starts 4 weeks ago. What is at the top of your checklist that you're actually looking forward to and you find is a positive that you would like to cover?
You know, I'm really looking forward to developing a relationship with some of these players and coaches. I mean, the difficult thing about covering college football is, you know, that there's so much media involved and there's so many people trying to get to know everyone. And it's a little different than minor league baseball where you just go in the clubhouse and it's just you and the guy and you can really get to know them. But I'm looking forward to getting to know some of these players and hearing their story. You know, why are they staying? What is their connection like with Penn State? How is staying going to make them better human beings once they get into the job force, whether it's in football or something else? I'm just really looking forward to, you know, learning some of these guys' backgrounds and stories and just hearing about some of what these people have to persevere. And also, I'm looking forward to getting to know the assistant coaches. I don't think a lot of people realize how much assistant coaches do. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to getting to know them and learning their reasons for staying. And, you know, I think if you're a coach, this is kind of refreshing. I mean, you always hear baseball guys, Steve, say that, you know, especially in the lower levels that we followed, is, hey, you know, the best part about my job is the actual on-the-field coaching and the hands-on interaction. And I think the coaches are going to be even more appreciative now because of what the team's going through. And with no bowl game or no end result there, maybe there's maybe it's going to be more like minor league baseball where they're, you know, yeah, wins are important, but you can really develop players because you're not always going for the end goal. So, yeah, I can really see some crossovers here with minor league baseball just on how they're going to develop guys and try to maybe get them to go to the next level instead of developing him for a win or a bowl game.
Well, I think there's another part, too. The other part of this is that the assistant coaches, along with Bill O'Brien, they have been recruiting in heavy, choppy water with gale force winds since they started their jobs here. Yet they have been able to recruit based on paper, and I've never seen any of these guys play, but on paper they've been able to recruit people a lot of other people want. I think that's the best way to phrase it. They must have an ability to relate to parents, student-athlete, as to what they can accomplish academically at Penn State, what they can accomplish athletically at Penn State, and what the social life here is. They must have that ability to do that. Is that part of the story you're going to find out exactly what are they telling recruits?
Yeah, you know, that's another fascinating thing. You know what, in January, even before I was covering this and when Bill O'Brien was hired and maybe there was a lukewarm response, you know, people were like, who is this guy? You know, why did Penn State hire him? The first thing I thought is that the kids are going to embrace this because they see a guy working with NFL players. And I think that young kids relate to the NFL maybe more than they do to some of these historic college football programs and coaches. I think a lot of these kids are thinking – not only for the next 4 years, but the rest of their life after that. So, yeah, I think that the NFL sales pitch becomes even bigger, and I think that's what attracted a lot of these guys in this 2013 recruiting class to Penn State, is that they maybe saw some vibrant coaches with some professional experience, and that excited people. And, you know, even through it all, you know, they still have 12 guys in the recruiting class. They're still in good shape in that regard. You know, if kids honor their commitments, really they only have 3 more scholarships to give. You know, they can't give more than 15 to new players. So, you know, if kids honor their commitments, it's still a top 20 recruiting class right now, which is miraculous considering everything that happened. Of course, you know, with high school kids, nothing's final until that name's on paper and it's faxed in. But, yeah, I'm interested to see how they're going to handle this recruiting challenge. And they certainly, you know, it wasn't easy when they took the job in January. There were still a lot of questions about program and what direction it was going to go in and if there would be penalties. So it was never, ever an easy recruiting task to begin with. So I think a lot of these coaches have already, you know, been through some recruiting battles, and I'm sure there's people from other schools that are bringing up the problems Penn State has, and they obviously handled it well, and you know, I think they continue to handle it well. The fact that, you know, guys aren't dropping from the recruiting class immediately is a positive sign.
Yeah, they've been recruiting this kind of choppy water, gale force wind since day one when they took their respective jobs. Now, moving forward, you had an opportunity to listen to all the Big Ten coaches as time went along. Who stuck out to you, impressed you along the way, and were there a couple of guys along the way you kind of raised your eyebrow at and went, really?
Well, I mean, first, let's go to really, obviously, Tim Beckman from Illinois. I mean, completely, it was a complete public relations disaster for him out in Chicago. I mean, he tried to be proactive and mentioned that his coaches were going after Penn State players, and he comes out and says, oh, no, we weren't on campus. And then, of course, the next question later, you know, someone asked him to clarify that, and he comes back and says, oh, well, we were in State College, but we weren't on campus. Well, Steve, you know, what difference does it make? I mean, State College and the campus are intertwined. What difference does it make if you're at the football building or set up in a restaurant on a College Avenue?
Also, when the head football coach walks past you in the parking lot on the way to the airport, okay, to go to Bristol, and he happens to know who you are, you are sort of caught at that point.
Yeah, you know, I don't think a lot of people had heard of Tim Beckman or knew much about him. He was at Toledo and did a nice job there, but that was his first big public showcase, and he absolutely flopped. I know I asked him the question, you know, during that big Q&A, I said, you know, have you contacted any Penn State coaches, and do you feel like you should contact any Penn State coaches about their players? And he was kind of shaking up there and just gave a roundabout answer. I mean, I don't think he came across very well, but who knows, you know, maybe his tactics will work where he lives. Who knows what kids in the Chicago area are thinking, you know, and he's obviously recruiting Illinois hard, but he came across horribly in my mind. You know, there were Brent Bielema impressed me just because of his energy. A lot of these coaches are dry and they say trite things, and you know they're good at what they do. But I mean, guys like Kirk Ferentz and Bo Pelini and Danny Hope are just. I mean, if I were a high school kid, I wouldn't want to play for those guys. There's just not a lot of energy, or they're not very vibrant. But Brett Bielema brings a lot of energy, one of the younger coaches in the league. You know, you can see why kids want to play for him. Urban Meyer, you listen to him, and he sounds boring. He just isn't animated with his voice. And then you go back and listen to your tape, and you hear what he says and kind of how he's running his program, and you're thinking, boy, this guy really gets it. He kind of comes across as a CEO. And obviously he's done an excellent job where he's been, and there's no question in my mind whatsoever that Ohio State's going to be a top five program once he gets his recruits in, and that they'll be a national title contender. There's no question. You know, Ohio's a state that has a lot of skilled players in the Midwest and Northeast, and he's going to get the best players from that state, and he's a big enough name where he could really cross state boundaries. And, you know, like I said, he doesn't wow you right away, but then you sit there and digest what he said, and you're like, boy, that's pretty provoking. So it was interesting getting to see all those guys, and, you know, some guys were impressive and some guys weren't. You know, just because you portray yourself one way to the media, I mean, you could portray yourself a different way to kids. So, you know, a guy may come across boring to us, but kids may love him. You just don't know what happens behind closed doors.
And the other part, too, is you don't see the assistant coaches who are the lead guys in the recruiting and what they're like. I mean, they may have enthusiasm out of every pore, and that makes a big difference. The other part, too, is about Brett Bielema. And this part, you probably, because, you know, really haven't been exposed to him that often. I think because he's older now and has had success, I sense he's far more secure in himself, and thus he portrays himself differently now than he did his first couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That wasn't a glamour hire when he was kind of ascended to Barry Alvarez's replacement. Nobody really knew who he was outside the Wisconsin football family. And, yeah, I mean, he's confident in his job now. He's got job security. I mean, that team wins 9, 10, 11 games every year. He just got married. So, yeah, you can see where his personality has changed and why it has changed and why he maybe portrays himself differently now than maybe a few years ago when he first started on the job.
Guy, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Guy Cipriano, Setter Daily Times, the beat writer for the CDT on Penn State football. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
At Sunbury Motors, the rewards are many. And the regrets? Well, the regrets just don't happen. That's because no matter what vehicle you buy from Sunbury Motor Company, you are guaranteed to be satisfied. Not only when you first get that new or used car, truck, or SUV, but when you have your vehicle serviced, you'll always have the best experience possible. From start to finish. Talk about variety being the spice of life? Well, at Sunbury Motor Company, you have the luxury of choosing from all the best brands like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. Each and every vehicle comes with awesome service and financing plans that fit your budget and are super easy to afford. You can even submit a financing application online and calculate the value of your trade-in. Ask about Sunbury Motors' Tire Rewards Program. Service, parts, body shop, and quick lane too. New or used, the best vehicles come from Sunbury Motor Company. Visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory, and visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury has all your summer partying needs. They have beer, they have snacks, they have soda, they have water. And did I mention they have beer? Brewers Outlet has a huge selection of imports and microbrews, some incredible deals, and they're a great beverage shoppable store. Fresh roasted peanuts daily, and check this out, a new Help Yourself Pickle Bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the summer, and don't forget the beer.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all of the paperwork for you. The e-Power Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted, local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar. This is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Welcome back. Lenape Solar Hotline, 1-800-795-9565. Tony Shimokin, thank you for your patience during the break, and thanks for being on the show.
Oh, I enjoyed the commercial.
I knew you would, Tony.
The NCAA sanctions, I understand there's nothing we can do about that at this time. But as far as the Big Ten not allowing us to play for the championship and any other sanctions they impose, can't we appeal those?
Well, to be honest with you, no, Tony, you can't. And here's the reason why. The Big Ten is not going to allow Penn State to play for the championship while they're bowl ineligible. The bowl ineligibility was handed down by the NCAA. The Big Ten cannot risk having Penn State win the division and going to the championship game and winning the championship game, because then Penn State would then force the Big Ten to forfeit a bowl. Now, you know, you wouldn't forfeit the game, but you'd forfeit a bowl spot in the bowl championship series, and because of that, they're not going to allow it. So thus, Ohio State is not eligible to play in the Big Ten championship game this year, and, for example, USC was not allowed to play in the Pac-12 championship game last year, even though they did win their division. They were supposed to play Oregon, but, again, you cannot give away a BCS spot in case that team wins.
Well, didn't they also take some money away from Penn State?
Well, that was fine money, and that money is going to child abuse charities within the conference footprint. So it's going to be a $3 million plus donation each year.
All of this for something that didn't happen on the field. Oh, well. Have a nice day.
Tony, thanks. I'm glad I could at least explain. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We'll come back with the second hour of the show after the news, and Sarah Bartlett at the top of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.